Hi, welcome to Pursuing True North. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Jenny.
And today we are interviewing Miss Sunny Rosenbaum from Tucker's House. And we are happy to have you sit down and talk with us about this amazing organization that is just a beautiful addition to the world and special needs and just we love what you do. So we wanted to talk to you. We wanted to find out a bit about you and Sunny, who you are and what God's done in your life and just anything you'd like to share with us about who you are.
Yeah. Well, thank you, girls. I'm huge fans of you girls. So I love what you guys do for our special needs community. We're all family when it comes to our kiddos that have special needs. I love that. So I started Tucker's House 9 years ago. And the reason, not 9 years, almost 10 years. 10 years in August, I started Tucker's House because my grandson Tucker, who has cerebral palsy, and when he was 3 and a half, it became really evident that his family needed some modifications to their own home. It was during the downturn of the economy, so not a lot was happening with the construction world. My husband and my son are in construction. But financially, my son really couldn't afford it, and they were renting at the time. Well, so he asked the homeowner if he would provide the materials, my son could do the labor. So they were able to put a curbless shower in, and we did a ramp, and pulled out all the carpeting and put solid flooring in. And I was like, you know, this is incredible. This makes a huge difference. Even just widening a door makes an enormous difference in when you have a child in a wheelchair, such as Tucker. So, and then also using a walker, you can't use a gait trainer where there's carpeting and a child that doesn't have the ability to navigate on carpeting. So that made a huge difference for them. So I thought, you know, there's got to be something in our community that helps families that have children with special needs to know what to do. So that they can, that this, like a place where they can go to find out as much information as possible and how to modify the home or even a resource that can help them pay for this. And so I went to Vanderbilt. I spoke with them down there. I ended up speaking with a bunch of therapists, and I found absolutely nothing. Another problem is quite often families that are more the lower income, that there is a lot of resources that are available, or then there are people that can actually afford to pay for it. But there's this huge gap in the middle.
Oh, definitely a big gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought, you know, I want this to be for all people. So if they can afford it, they just don't know what to do. You know, each diagnosis, as we were discussing earlier, each diagnosis is different. Like you can have a kid with CP and like Tucker cannot walk or talk, and you can have a kid with CP that can walk. So it's very different. You can't just put it in that, you know, ADA box. So I'm an architectural designer. Okay. That's my education, and my husband's been a builder for over 40 years. So when I looked in the community and found nothing, I thought to myself, you know what? If I can't find something, I'm going to start something, because this is crazy. There is nothing out there.
And I love how your background.
Yeah.
You went to school for architectural design.
Actually, I started in engineering and switched to architectural design and worked for 30 years drawing house plans. And
you had no idea that was placed in your heart when God designed you and designed the desires and the giftings for you. You had no idea that not only would you do this because it's fun and you like it, but now you're doing Tucker's House.
What's crazy is, speaking of God's design, this goes even back to when I was a child. My mother was a water safety instructor and the director of a YMCA, and she taught the blind, deaf, and she also worked with people with disabilities in the pool. So I was raised, you know, helping my mother to teach the blind and deaf and disabled to swim. So I had a real heart for people with disabilities. I actually am an artist too, and I wanted to teach. What I wanted to do as a kid was be an art teacher to the deaf. That's what I thought I would always be. I worked part-time I volunteered when I was young, like 13, at the school for the deaf. I'm almost 62, so I grew up in a totally different generation where children with disabilities either went to a home or some sort of school where they lived. And right behind us was a home called Fairview, and that's where kids like my Tucker, when they were born, they were immediately put there. So my mother, and also children with Downs or with autism, they were put in a home like that. My mother hired some of the girls with different intellectual disabilities to come and iron, because it helped them to be able to have a job and all that. And these girls became really dear to us. So this goes way back. I had a huge heart for kids with special needs or individuals with special needs. Little did I know, talking about God's design, little did I know way back then that God was planting this in my heart. I started engineering. I wanted to be an art teacher, but I started engineering. I switched to architectural design. My husband's a builder. And then Tucker came into our lives. And truly, God knew this way before me.
He knew you were going to be the most awesome grandparents ever to Tucker. Yeah. And then you would take that love and that passion and all y'all's skill set and turn it into an organization that helps more than just your grandbaby.
Yeah.
And his family. So that's awesome. So you guys go in, and specifically, what does Tucker's House do for the special needs communities?
That's my project manager. So anyways, what we do is, so that project manager, we have a physical therapist, Sandra Zakari, who's been a physical therapist for over 30 years. And she's also a hypnotherapist at Saddle Up, and she's a therapist at High Hopes, and she's just super knowledgeable. And she is an adjunct professor at Belmont. So Sandra Zakari, the project manager, and an architect goes and assesses the home. So when we go and do an assessment, Sandra knows all about the diagnosis. So she knows every diagnosis in detail. And what she doesn't know, like there are diagnoses that are coming up all the time that we've never heard of, she will delve into and she'll learn about that. But she also understands how a child presents, she can tell by their muscle tone and so forth, what their future actually holds. It's fascinating to watch her. So when
That's
we go,
a gift.
Yeah, it really is. So when we do this assessment, we're coming in and understanding the child's diagnosis. We have an architect, Brian, that is looking at structure. I used to do that. It used to be Sandra and I used to do the assessments together. So I was the architect and the project manager. I would run my legs off. Yeah. That's why I'm dressed like I am today, because I was actually assessing a ramp for Belmont. So then when we do that assessment, then we come back here and we put it up on the screen, and we as a team look at the home and we talk about what is it, where this child is today, what can this child do independently, where's this diagnosis, what's the prognosis, so we can factor all that in. So many times we've gone into homes where well-meaning friends or family or somebody has gone and made modifications. The problem is it didn't grow with them. Okay. So they've spent a bunch of money that we have to rip it out.
Oh, no.
And so we don't want to do that. We've also assessed churches and businesses and adults that call me and say, I was diagnosed with ALS, can you come and assess my home? So
this is really not even just for children with disabilities. This is for the businesses and churches to help accommodate for
special needs community. Yeah. Well, we only serve up to age 22 when it comes to doing the actual modifications on the home, or for us to do the modifications. But I keep getting these calls, and I said, we're going to have to figure out how we can accommodate the businesses and adults that have this, because there's nothing out there to help them with at this level. So we are coming up with an assessment only program where we can come in and do the assessment, and they'll pay for that assessment, but they get a very very well thought through packet that tells them everything they need so that when they take this to an architect or a builder, they have a blueprint basically what they need to do, because they just don't know. And that's been the issue.
Well, so, they don't know what the possibilities could be
either. They don't. Well, you know what's funny is I've sat with architects and they're like, well, lady, I know ADA. And I'm like, I know and I get that. But this is specific. This is down to the detail. Like, for instance, there was a gal that I was working with. It's a wonderful architectural designer. And we were walking. She was doing the modifications for her friend who has a child with SMA. So we're walking through the design. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. She knew structure. But we came to this closet, and it was going to be a closet built in the room because she had to take the closet in the child's room to add to the space. To the bathroom to make it bigger. So she was going to do a built-in closet. And I said, can you tell me what that will look like? And she's going through that. I said, can you keep that? It would be more like a cabinet. I said, take that bottom piece out so she can roll up into her closet. She goes, well, don't you think she could do that? She goes, show me your reach to the little girl. She goes and reaches. I said, but we know SMA. What she can do that now, we're talking about down the road. And she was like, so sure enough, she did the whole thing, and the little girl could get, she told me, she said that would have been a huge mistake, because even once we were in there, that became an issue. So there were all these little details that made all the difference in the world. I sat with a guy who's a builder who had a whole house plan, a child with special needs. Big builder, does a beautiful job. He drew the plans. They were wonderful. We're looking at those plans. He asked me to come and look at them with him. We're going through that bit by bit through that plan. And he said, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to redo this whole plan. And he did.
So you guys take a whole different approach than just how can we modify a doorway or can we modify a tub. You guys actually look deep into the I didn't even know that you guys did that aspect of it. I knew you renovated things and made it more accessible, but I had no idea you were able to really spend the focus and time to go, okay, this is a diagnosis, this is what it's going to look like, let's make it for, I mean, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Well, 'cause as a parent, I don't know that a lot of us, especially as parents, I don't know about you, Jenny, but like sometimes looking too far into the future is something that, you know, you want to do a little bit just so that you're being responsible, but you don't want to look at too hard because you just, there's a lot of unknown. And so you guys kind of take a little bit of that pressure and stress off of the special needs families and say, hey, I've already thought about some of these things for you, whether this is the case or it's not, you know, at least we have this set up for you.
Well, that is the truth, exactly, because a lot of the parents are not ready for that. We've had parents that said, listen, I don't want it. And so I get that. So then we go and talk about it, sidebar, you know, in our office. Sandra will give me the whole down low, and now we get to kind of factor that into the plan. I had one parent that I said, we want to put a door, a pocket door, between your child's bedroom and bathroom. And she said, no, we don't want to have that door between the bedroom and bathroom. But the diagnosis was such, we knew that the progression was going to be quick. And we knew what was down the road as far as his size, everything, how difficult that was going to be. She goes, we'll just take him around and through the hall and all that. And I said, okay. I said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a pocket door frame in this wall. So that if you change your mind later on, that you can, you know it's there. And that would be easy to just pound that out and pull out the studs and you've got your pocket door. Before we had even got to that, I mean, she said, we've decided to go ahead and do that. And she said, that would have been a huge mistake because we can get him. And you know what? That young man became so much, so independent. After that was done, he really seemed much more dependent, would sit in his chair quite a bit, once he got that done, boy, he got his new power chair. He was all over the place, very independent, enjoying that space. Nice. And that's the other thing we see is kids who can be independent become really independent and just alive, you know?
They really want to.
Yes.
I know deep down there's, you know, especially kids and adults and people who have a harder time verbalizing what they want or need, to be able to and have to rely on people so much, I would imagine that the ability to be able to do more for yourself has to just be very empowering.
It is very empowering.
I have two of mine that clap every time they do something that they didn't think they could do.
Yes. We had a mom awesome. Say, oh no, we don't need a roll under sink. She'll never be able to wash her hands or brush her teeth. She sent me a picture of, she strapped a electric toothbrush to her hand, you know, Velcro, and she's sitting there brushing her teeth. And she's like, who knew? Nice. You know, seriously, suddenly these things just open up in their world.
Yeah. Sometimes we can underestimate what people can do based on lack of being able to communicate just in general. And again, the unknowns that you, and I think too, as parents, a lot of times you kind of prepare a little bit for, okay, what if nothing ever, you know, things are going to change, but you don't know if they're going to change. And it's just this tug of war, really.
It's hard in general. Like if you think about it, when you have a 1 year old that can maybe barely be toddling, you can't think about their ability to drive someday. You know, even for typical kids. So, like, for special needs, it's, you know.
That times 1,000?
Yeah.
Yes. There's no two ways about that. And really, a parent of a typical child is not really fully going to understand that. They think, oh, yeah, I can imagine. But it's so different unless you are in that place and you're walking that walk. And no, you don't get it. You really don't. I'm sorry. You can't even imagine, you know.
So, how is it that we can get involved as far as, like, whether it be donating, if you guys have fundraisers, or if there's volunteer projects? I know there's men out there who have skills that could be used to help. If there's projects that, I mean, I know you guys have your teams and, and your builders and your construction and everything. So where is it that the community can get involved with Tucker's
House? Definitely donating. That's, I mean, if consistent donations, like monthly donations, whether it's $30 a month or $50 a month or $100 a month, we can look at that and we can plan accordingly. You know, you've got those consistent donations, that's great. Somebody that wants to give one time a year, that's wonderful too. But we have our 10-year, I can't even believe it, 10-year anniversary August 24th, at the Franklin Factory, 6 to 9 o'clock, we're having a songwriters night. So I need to make sure you guys are on that list so we can get that invitation. But that is, so we have that coming up. And then we have a golf tournament at the end of September 30th. So, you know, there's events like that. Also, so, you know, volunteering even for those kind of events is great. But also, you know, whether you're skilled or unskilled volunteers, if you're unskilled, you could possibly clean up, be a part of cleaning up as the skilled guys or women or whatever are doing the demo, or they can help haul things to the dumpster. Some people are great painters. It's like, I'm not in construction, but I'm an excellent painter. That would be amazing. But also skilled volunteers are great to have. So there are guys that we know that they have a job at some company, but I'll tell you what, I've trimmed my whole house, or I put myself through college doing plumbing or whatever. Now, I must say, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, and Electric have been wonderful to Tucker's House. They donate their services to Tucker's House. So we have tier system. So if a person makes $65,000 or less, Tucker's House covers the cost of the assessment and all the construction. And we construction manage that project. Between $65,000 and $110,000, their financial application goes to a committee. And on that committee are two attorneys, a CPA, Sandra, the therapist, is on that so that she can answer questions about why this project needs to be done. But on that application, they take into consideration not just your finances, but what comes in, but what goes out. So because that was one of the things I made a point of saying, because I know with my own son, he might make, he makes too much to qualify all this stuff, but he has five kids and two of them have special needs. And there's so many things that go out that people don't understand.
Yeah, they see your figure and they're like, oh, well, you can't qualify for a grant or you can't qualify for disability, but you're like, you have no idea how many bills we have.
Yeah.
And that definitely, to take that into consideration, because you were talking about that gap in the middle. There's a bunch of people in that gap in the middle that don't make enough to be able to pay for everything, or they make just not enough that they can have all the benefits. Yes. So I like that you guys still are able to accommodate a bit for.
And we have tiers. So once that financial committee looks at your finances, they'll say this will be tier 2A, tier 2B, tier 2C. And that could be that in tier 2A, the family pays 25%, we pay 75%. Tier 2B, it's 50-50. Tier 2C, they pay 75, we pay 25. Tier 3 is the family pays for it, all the costs themselves. However, in all those tiers, we are, remember, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Electric, that for the family that's paying, they will do it at cost.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and then all the dumpsters are donated by Been There, Dumped That. Then if there are people in our community that want to volunteer on your project, that brings that cost down. So even that, the family that when they're paying their portion, and then like there's a family in Spring Hill, they were a tier 2B, no, C. And they were so shocked when it was all done. They were like, wow, this was way cheaper than we thought it would be. But that's because there were people in their church that had skills that volunteered on that project. So that's bringing the whole cost down.
So you definitely want skilled, unskilled volunteers. Yep. You definitely have fundraising opportunities, a monthly kind of promise donation to help you plan things out. And everything's at tuckershouse.org.
Yes, tuckershouse.org, yeah. And then on there is, the mailing address, email address, anything, any contact information they need. We're also on Facebook and all that stuff, Twitter and...
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
We're so glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing and catch all the new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week.